Welcome to Workplace English Pod, a great way to improve your English on the go. Workplace English Pod is brought to you by Workplace English Training e-Platform, the Internet's largest business English resource for learners and teachers of business English. You can subscribe to Workplace English Training e-Platform at www.workplace-english-training.com and get access to podcast transcripts, study notes, interactive exercises, and thousands of additional resources in the training center. Making future plans. In this podcast lesson, we're going to listen in on a business meeting where colleagues are making plans for the future. We're going to focus on three main areas of language in this lesson. First, we show you how to ask for and give opinions, and we'll point out the difference between opinions and suggestions, which are often confused. Second, we'll show you how to make simple suggestions using common functional expressions. And finally, we'll show you how to make plans using the future simple tense will and going to. Will and going to are also often confused. They have similar yet slightly different uses. We'll make the differences between these two future forms clear. You are now going to listen to two colleagues, Liz and Sam, having a short business meeting. They are meeting to discuss the details of a new company newsletter. Here they discuss the aim of the newsletter and possible content.
First thing I thought we could do this morning, Liz, is discuss the vision each of us has for the newsletter. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think it should be quite colorful, very active, showing lots of photos of staff and activities, and limiting the text as much as possible.
That's an interesting idea, but I'm not sure if we could sell a newsletter with only photos to the management. We have to think about the aim of the newsletter. Who's going to read it, and what do they want to read about?
Well, that's a good point, Sam. What do you think the aim should be?
In my opinion, the main aim should be to communicate important information about staffing policies and activities. But also, I think it should be a way to connect staff and inform them about what's happening around the company. So, do you have any suggestions about content?
Okay. Why don't we have a monthly activity report where we write about activities that have happened during the previous month?
That's a good idea. We could also feature an employee of the month in each issue. And how about including a department update? Perhaps introducing new employees, changes to the organizational structure, that kind of thing.
I like that idea. And what about introducing some new projects that are being worked on in the company?
Yes, that's a good idea. Hey, we could also include a monthly employee contact list. I don't know about you, but I'm always searching for telephone extensions.
I've got another couple of ideas. We could invite staff to send in a story, poem, or joke. If any are good enough, we could publish them. And how about running some competitions? What prizes do you think we could give out? Any ideas?
First of all, let's make sure we are aware of the difference between an opinion and a suggestion. Early on in the dialogue, Sam asks Liz, "What are your thoughts on this?" By saying this, Sam is asking Liz for her opinion and is not asking for a suggestion. If you give an opinion, you say how you feel about something. A suggestion, on the other hand, is more like an idea. When Liz gives her opinion, she says,
"Well, I think it should be quite colorful, very active, showing lots of photos of staff and activities, and limiting the text as much as possible."
When giving neutral opinions, ones that we don't want to state too strongly, we often use the phrase, "I think it should," or "I think you should." Here are some sentences for you to practice. Listen and repeat them after me. I think the meeting should start earlier. I think you should talk to John about this. I think we should find ways to reduce expenses. I think Jane should be promoted. Sam doesn't appear to share Liz's opinion on what should be included in the newsletter,
So Liz asks,
"What do you think the aim should be?"
When Liz says, "What do you think the aim should be?" she is asking Sam for his opinion. So we can ask for and give opinions using the phrases, "What do you think should?" and "I think something or someone should." Let's look at a few sentences using the question form to ask for an opinion. Repeat these sentences after me. What do you think we should do? Where do you think we should hold the meeting? When do you think we should start? Why do you think Jane should be promoted? Another way of giving an opinion is to start with the phrase, "In my opinion," as Sam does. Let's hear him again.
In my opinion, the main aim should be to communicate important information about staffing policies and activities.
Note that the phrase, "in my opinion," is usually followed by "you should" or "we should," as in these sentences. Try repeating them after me. In my opinion, we should cancel the contract. In my opinion, you should sell your shares. In my opinion, it was a waste of money. In the next stage of the meeting, the colleagues ask for and give suggestions on the content of the new newsletter. First, Liz says,
"Okay, why don't we have a monthly activity report where we write about activities that have happened during the previous month?"
"Why don't we" is a common phrase used to make suggestions. It is always followed by the base form of the verb. Beginning a question, rather than a statement, this is a good way to make a gentle suggestion. Practice using the phrase by repeating these sentences. Why don't we look for a new office? Why don't you leave work early today? Why don't we have a meeting to discuss this? Why don't you ask Jim to help you? When Sam replies, he first acknowledges that Liz's suggestion is a good one by saying, "That's a good idea." He then goes on to make two suggestions of his own. Let's hear Sam.
"We could also feature an Employee of the Month in each issue. And how about including a department update? Perhaps introducing new employees, changes to the organizational structure, that kind of thing."
A common way to suggest something is to use the modal verb could, followed by the main verb infinitive without to. Sam says, "We could also feature an Employee of the Month in each issue." Let's practice making suggestions using could, followed by a main verb. Repeat these sentences after me. You could go home early if you feel sick. We could ask staff what they think about the plan. We could lower our prices slightly. You could check with the suppliers if this is possible. In his next sentence, Sam says, "How about including a department update?" We use the phrase "how about," followed by the "ing" form of the verb, or the gerund, to make a suggestion. Here are some further examples. Repeat them after me. How about using a different supplier? How about creating a new user guide? How about arranging some English language classes for the staff? Liz responds by agreeing with Sam's suggestions and by giving her own using a similar phrase to "how about." Let's listen to Liz again.
I like that idea. And what about introducing some new projects that are being worked on in the company?
Liz says, "How about introducing some new projects?" The phrases "how about" and "what about" can be used interchangeably.
They have the same meaning and are used in exactly the same way. Here, we rejoin Liz and Sam's meeting concerning the new company newsletter. At this stage, they're discussing the format and printing of the newsletter. This is the planning and decision-making stage of the meeting.
What size is the newsletter going to be?
We're going to print A4 size so that we can fold the pages in half to create a booklet.
And what about colors? Are we going to have the budget for a 4-color newsletter?
I suggest that we use 2 colors for now. We could talk to Mr. Park about increasing the budget later if the newsletter is successful.
Let's also consider creating a small focus group to find out what the other staff members want to see in this newsletter. It would be good to get input from as many people as possible.
Actually, I've already arranged that. The focus groups for the production and sales departments are meeting next Thursday at 2:30 p.m.
I'm impressed, Sam. And who's going to print the newsletter?
I suggest contacting a number of local printers. Give them the specs and get quotes from them. Could you handle that?
Okay. I'll contact a number of printers this afternoon and get quotes. Should we do a timeline?
Well, here's what I came up with. If we could have at least 4 printing quotes by Friday, I'll submit them to management for their approval. After the focus group reports back, let's meet again in 2 weeks and decide on the final content and design.
Okay. In the meantime, I'll create a sample monthly activities report to give us an idea of how it will be structured. And I'll get moving on those printing quotes today. Let's aim for May 1st as the publication date. How does that sound?
Yeah, that should give us plenty of time. In the second part of the meeting, Sam and Liz discuss the format of the newsletter and talk about the printing. They need to make some decisions about who does what. Liz starts off by saying,
"What size is the newsletter going to be?"
She says, "What size is the newsletter going to be?" She could have said, "What size will the newsletter be?" Is there any difference between these sentences? We use the present simple tense will and going to talk about the future. But we tend to use going to during the planning phase of something, and then will once the plans have been finalized and firm decisions have been made. Let's practice making a few questions using going to. Practice saying these sentences after me. Which colors are you going to use? Who is going to design the newsletter? When are you going to publish the newsletter? What kind of budget are you going to get for this? Notice that Sam also replies using going to. He says,
"We're going to print A4 size so that we can fold the pages in half to create a booklet."
Again, he doesn't say, "We will print A4 size," because they are still in the planning stages. Liz then asks about colors. She uses the phrase, "And what about colors?" But the phrase, "What about?" is not used here to make a suggestion. Here, the phrase is used simply to bring up a new topic to discuss. Let's listen to Liz again.
"And what about colors? Are we going to have the budget for a 4-color newsletter?"
I suggest that we use 2 colors for now. We could talk to Mr. Park about increasing the budget later if the newsletter is successful. When Liz asks, "Are we going to have the budget for a 4-color newsletter?" Sam hasn't yet decided on anything. Instead, he makes a suggestion regarding the colors. He says, "I suggest that we use 2 colors." The most common way to make a suggestion is to say, "I suggest." It's a little more formal than using phrases like, "Why don't you?" "How about?" and "What about?" Note that "I suggest" is followed by a main clause. In conversation, we often omit the word "that." Let's practice. Repeat these sentences after me. I suggest that we use another printer. I suggest that we use a larger page size. I suggest you use brighter colors. I suggest you make the print size larger. Liz then says,
Let's also consider creating a small focus group to find out what the other staff members want to see in this newsletter.
Liz starts her sentences with let's. We usually use let's when we want to make a very informal suggestion. We often use it when an idea suddenly comes into our heads. Let's is followed by the base form of the verb. Now listen to these sentences and repeat them after me. Let's use a less expensive printer. Let's ask the staff for their opinions. Let's not print too many copies of the newsletter. Let's get the content decided before the end of the month. Later, we hear this exchange.
I'm impressed, Sam. And who's going to print the newsletter?
I suggest contacting a number of local printers. Give them the specs and get quotes from them. Could you handle that? Sam hasn't decided who's going to print the newsletter, so he makes another suggestion. He says, I suggest contacting a number of local printers. Note that we can use the verb suggest to make suggestions using two grammatical constructions. In the earlier example, suggest was followed by a main clause. In this example, suggest is followed by the ing form of the verb, also known as the gerund. Let's practice this form. Repeat these sentences. I suggest using another printer. I suggest using a larger paper size. I suggest changing the design to something simpler. I suggest making the print size larger. Towards the end of the meeting, Liz and Sam talk about the tasks that need to be done and who will do them. Once they have decided which action each is going to take, they change from using going to the future simple tense will. This illustrates the key difference between the two future forms. Let's hear some of their action decisions.
Okay. I'll contact a number of printers this afternoon and get quotes. Should we do a timeline?
Well, here's what I came up with. If we could have at least 4 printing quotes by Friday, I'll submit them to management for their approval. After the focus group reports back, let's meet again in 2 weeks and decide on the final content and design.
Okay. In the meantime, I'll create a sample monthly activities report to give us an idea of how it will be structured. And I'll get moving on those printing quotes today.
Note that in conversation, it is far more normal to use the short form I'll than I will. In this lesson, you learned the difference between opinions and suggestions, and we introduced you to some key functional language for both. There are many ways to give both opinions and suggestions. Stick to the simple forms until you are ready to move on to more complex phrases. We also looked at the difference between going to and the future simple will to talk about the future. Going to is often used in the planning phase of any operation to talk about things that have been decided on but will be done at a later time in the future. The future simple will is used to talk about firm decisions, specifically regarding the near future and who will do what and when.
You can subscribe online at www.workplace-english-training.com.